Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
I'm on a 9-game schedule. I like the setup of 3 permanents. I think the more permanents that you have, the more that you can measure your program against consistent opponents. I also think, it preserves the basis of the SEC. I think, the Southeastern Conference is the best conference in college football because of its fans and the passion of its fan base. And I think you run the risk of losing that with short-sightedness of this schedule's not fair for me. It's not fair for me if I have to play 8 or blah, blah, blah. I think the reality of it is preserving the primary and secondary rivalries of this league, I think, are important to the league. I think it's important to the fan base. I think it's important now more than ever with the competition for dollars and passion in sports. You move too far away from it, you're going to open the door for fans to travel to other venues for entertainment. Come on.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John. Solo. And Marco Marquez. Today we will chat with Jamie Bluma and Mike Boddicker again. They'll be back in with us. Todd Lebo's going to be here. So basketball, NBA playoffs, NBA finals with Matt Moore, and then Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will be with us as well. It's miserable weather outside, miserable driving conditions. Be careful. It sucks. I hate it. So be careful out there. A lot of rain, poor visibility, and plenty of dummies out there on the road that don't know how to drive, so be ready to deal with that on your morning commute. The Royals did not sweep the Cardinals. They lost to St. Louis 2-1, despite a good pitching performance from Zach Greinke, who fired off 5 shutout innings, 78 pitches, but then he got the hook in favor of Carlos Hernandez, who gave up the shutout. And then Aroldis Chapman gave up another run. Royals scored a run of their own in the ninth, but that wasn't enough. And so St. Louis beats the Royals 2-1. So, darn it. No sweep for Kansas City. But it was good to see Greinke pitch well again. Love to see him go more than 5 innings, but, you know. I don't know what to tell you there. And the bullpen did not get the job done. And the Royals' bats were asleep. So, and so then in some other news, which dominated social media yesterday and the discussion around here, I guess in the SEC and then around the college football nation, was comments from Eli Drinkwitz that he made yesterday at the, I don't even know what the hell it is. It seems like the SEC coaches get together quite a bit and have a chance to get misquoted or getting their get their comments taken out of context. But yesterday was an interesting day if you were Eli Drinkwitz. I can tell you that it's going to be a day he won't forget anytime soon. And so this if you already didn't like Eli Drinkwitz, this was just another reason for you to jump all over him and to criticize him. The comments when they were originally tweeted out, they didn't look great, but again, they were taken out of context at the SEC's spring meetings in Destin, Florida. So the spring meetings in Destin, Florida, which sounds fun. And so what happened was you have, and boy, oh boy, this was fun to follow, I guess, unless you're Eli Drinkwitz or a Mizzou fan. I'll say it was interesting to follow throughout the day as Ross Dellinger, who's a pretty well-known college football writer, he originally tweeted out a quote from Eli Drinkwitz that caught everyone's eye. And as soon as I saw it, I said, oh boy, that's not going to go over well. And I just retweeted it and with no comment because I know better. Because I wanted to see the rest of the quotes and see what the question was that he was asked, whether he said these things on his own, what the proper context was. And so the original quote, the original tweet from Ross Dellinger was Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz says college players through NIL are making more money than his brother-in-law, who is a pediatrician. And then the quote, he saves lives. And so that's all it was. That's all he tweeted out. No context. Didn't tweet out what the question was. Didn't tweet out why Eli Drinkwitz said this, what led him to say this. Didn't tweet out anything he said before or after this quote. And so people went crazy and began criticizing Eli Drinkwitz about, boy, people, there's some people out there that don't like Eli Drinkwitz. And there's some local guys that cover other schools that got, you know, that are, I mean, a little name calling. I don't know. They're just got their chest all swelled up and just went after Eli Drinkwitz. It was interesting. Yeah, so look, he's a polarizing figure. I'm not gonna argue that, even within the Mizzou fan base. But if you're gonna put the quote out there, put the whole quote. Put it in proper context. And so 2 hours later then, Dellinger, whatever.
I've always gone by Dellinger. Yeah.
He's not interested in getting things accurate, so maybe I'm not interested in getting his name accurate. How about that? Ross Dellinger. 2 hours, and let me tell you, 2 hours on Twitter is forever. 2 hours on Twitter, the whole world has turned on you, trust me. In 2 hours, he just leaves that tweet out there, and then he follows up 2 hours later. Eli Drinkwitz's comment here was responding to a question on sports gambling. Here's more context around it. So then Eli Drinkwitz retweeted that and basically said, a little late now, with the emoji with his hand on his chin. And Drinkwitz also tweeted out the full quote after he started to get dragged on Twitter. And he said, full context of quote, I am in no way complaining about player compensation. I'm pro NIL. Check our state law. I'm asking for guardrails, especially in dealing with such large amounts of money. Full context of question and answer. I am in no way complaining about player compensation. I'm fully supportive. Always have been. And so let's play the whole quote, including the question that I sent you that last night, Marco, with the question. And I think that's I think it's a good thing about radio that you can listen to something and listen to how something's said, and even then they can give you better context into somebody's quote as opposed to just reading it on paper and how a writer or how somebody wants to position it. And so here's the full quote, including the question about gambling that led to the comments from Drinkwitz.
We see issues in gambling arising. What's your approach with your team about that issue? And is there an element of surprise, or was that just kind of inevitable in your mind?
Y'all really are trying to get me in trouble here. There's just not enough. I mean, we're trying to give... Actually, Deion Sanders had a really good quote the other day talking about young men that are joining a business, but we want to treat them like kids. We're giving guys 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old life-changing money. People are making more money in NIL than my brother-in-law, who's a pediatrician who saves lives. And we kind of do it cavalier, and we think that there's not going to be any side effects or there's not going to be issues. I mean, there's information out there. There's bad actors out there always trying to make a dollar. They're involved in running around campuses trying to gather information. Like, I think it's going to become one of the key issues that we face in our locker rooms. I mean, the NFL's faced it more high profile than I've seen it in the last 15 years, in the recent, you know, 2 years. So I think it's more prevalent because there's more money involved. And everybody's looking for a quick way to make a dollar. And so, you know, I've been known to play blackjack myself. So, you know, it's a tough deal. And like I said, these young men are getting a lot of money that is a lot right now. And there's not, other than trying to hand out advice and provide some parameters to it. You know, we talk about in recruiting, you recruit your own problems. you know, with this NIL situation, we've created our own problems in college sports.
So the question was asked, and the gambling is the question about gambling was asked because Iowa and Iowa State are under investigation for sports gambling just a week after a similar issue caused Alabama to fire its baseball coach. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission is investigating both Iowa and Iowa State for what the University of Iowa described as potential criminal conduct related to sports wagering. Iowa said 26 current male athletes in basketball, football, baseball, track and field, and wrestling are on a list provided by law enforcement. Iowa State had 15 active student athletes on the list from football, wrestling, and track and field. And then, like I said, Alabama had to fire their head baseball coach, Brad Bohannon, for violating the standards, duties, and responsibilities expected of university employees. Ohio's Casino Commission and the SEC began investigating the University of Alabama after two suspicious bets were placed on the Bet MHM sportsbook at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. The bets were from an unidentified customer who placed the bets on LSU to defeat Alabama in baseball on April 28th. So that's why, if you're wondering, because not everyone follows all these stories, and not everyone knows what the hell's going on, as you saw on Twitter, as people raced to jump all over Eli Drinkwitz and didn't take time to, number one, listen to the whole quote, or number two, read the whole quote, or number three, find out what the question was that was asked. Any of those things might have helped, but they didn't. So, you know, maybe wait and get all the information before you. See, but people don't want to wait because people have already made it. Again, however you feel about Eli Drinkwitz, yesterday I think led to your reaction of what that quote, or how you reacted to that quote, or whether or not you wanted to take time to actually read the entire quote or listen to the question that was asked or what he was talking about. He was not speaking out against NIL. He's been one of the biggest supporters and proponents of NIL in college football. Anyone that's paid attention realizes that. You know, he was asked a question about this, about the gambling, scandals going on at Iowa and Iowa State and Alabama, and he kind of went in a different direction from specifically talking about that. But he did say gambling. He said, he gambled. He's been known to play blackjack, so he did touch on that a little bit. But he talked about, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids getting thrown a whole bunch of money without any direction, without any help managing it. And that is an issue. I mean, he was asked about it. I mean, I don't know. Look. And it was a bad look because the quote was taken out of context. And yes, he does make $6 million to coach football. And that's a ridiculous amount of money to coach football. I'm sure he'd be the first one to admit that, but he ain't giving any of it back. And what generates all the money for colleges and athletic departments across the nation? Football. Right? He coaches football in the SEC.
Right.
That's what SEC football coaches make. And wasn't complaining about players making money. He's been a supporter of that. He was asked a question about the gambling scandals and if he's surprised and what his reaction is. And I mean, you can play the question again. I mean, the people out there that have listened to the first segment of the show, you've already heard the question more than the people that rushed to tweet and criticize Eli Drinkwitz yesterday. So you've already done more homework than half the so-called journalists that jumped on Twitter and tried to fire off their criticisms. Dude, but that was, that's one thing I can tell you, that I was...
It spread like a wildfire.
There is some venom out there for Eli Drinkwitz. There is some real, real venom towards him. Just of the language, you know. Or just the name calling and just how, you know, hey, look, that's great, that's fine. And if you just look at the quote and didn't do any homework on it and didn't look at what the actual quote was and didn't try to find out what the question was, and if he really just said that on his own, yeah, that would have deserved some criticism, but that's not the case. It was taken out of context. Like, I don't want to be the Mizzou homer defending Drinkwitz, but it's like...
No, stop defending Mizzou.
But what the hell? What the hell is wrong with people? You know? So I didn't comment on it, because as soon as it came out, I said, I would like to hear what question led to this response, first of all. Right?
Yeah.
Did he just get up there and say, hey, I want to tell you something. With no question, I want to hear what the question was. And then I want to hear what he said before and after this. I want to hear what the full quote was. And then I'll comment, boy, I don't think he should have said that. Or, boy, I don't agree. Or, that's a bad, whatever. But then everyone else just jumped to it. And so, I'll get back to this later. And then the full quote came out. And then people actually read what the question was. Like, oh, okay. He really didn't see anything wrong here. And it was odd that people weren't as quick to retract their criticism of the quote taken out of context. But it is what it is, man. So...
Tell me. He knows it, too. I mean... Throughout the 12 minutes of his presser yesterday, I think there was about four or five times where he just kind of chuckled and took a second to think before answering, because he said straight up to the media, he's like, you guys are trying to get me in trouble with your questions.
He also says a lot and says things that will sometimes get him in trouble, okay? But here you go. If you were complaining about Eli Drinkwitz and what he said yesterday... then don't bitch and complain next time you listen to an Andy Reid press conference and he doesn't say anything. Don't bitch and complain the next time you listen to the head coach of your football school or any, you know, the head coach of any football team that you follow, and he just gives you coach speak and doesn't really say anything and plays it close to the vest. This is why. That's why. Because they don't want to get caught up in any gotcha moments. Because even if 90% of the room that's there covering the football team or the football coach is trying to do a good job, there's going to be one or two a-holes that are looking to create some clickbait and get some Twitter interactions. That's the world we live in. That's what there are people that cover every team that aren't interested in always giving you the truth. They're looking for something that can get them Twitter followers or Twitter interactions or whatever else. Ross Dellinger got what he wanted yesterday. Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that he had the full quote and the question quicker than the 2 hours it took him to put that up. He just kind of let that roll. And so I just... it's whatever, man. People got to do whatever they can to keep their jobs or to expand their profile. Just pay attention. Just, you know, when you see a quote like that, just do your own homework, do your own research, because you can't Twitter. This is what I've said about Twitter repeatedly. Twitter is a necessary evil in my job and our jobs. Okay, not everybody that listens to the show is on Twitter. All right, there's plenty of people that are on Twitter that listen to the show, but there's a whole bunch of people that listen to Sports Radio 810 that have nothing to do with Twitter. All right, Twitter can be a cesspool. Twitter, many times, is just not real. It's an altered universe.
Can't do it.
You know? I mean, it's not real life. You can't get too wrapped up in it, and some people do. And yesterday was a perfect example of it. All you had to do was listen to the full quote. Read the full quote, listen to the question. But, and again, Ross Dellinger got what he wanted. He absolutely got what he wanted. A whole bunch of clicks, a whole bunch of people quoting his tweet, a whole bunch of retweets. I'm sure he got a nice pat on the head after that from his bosses. That's what he's supposed to do. But just beware, you know? And he's going to have to wear that. The next time he sends out a quote, most people shouldn't trust it. Right? Next time he sends something out, like, oh, I wonder if that's the real quote, or did he take that out of context?
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to go, usually in the replies from those quotes, is the article where you can see the full thing.
Guess what? PowerMizzou.com, they do a great job of covering Mizzou. If you want to get, guess what? They post the whole thing, all the comments, the entire press conference. And that way you see everything and you hear everything, and then you're good.
I was going to say, you know what? I don't think I saw the Power Mizzou going after that little bit of the quote on
Twitter.
No,
they just put the whole thing up.
Yeah.
You know? But again, that's social media, that's Twitter, and so I don't blame coaches for not wanting to say anything in press conferences, because this is what happens. But also, Eli Drinkwitz has a reputation. He will say things. He says all these things, and so people will look at, like what you said, all you guys are trying to get me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sometimes he gets himself in trouble. Sometimes he does say things that he probably wants to take back. So I understand. Part of that yesterday was he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt, because he is known as a guy that will criticize. He said things about other teams. He's kind of out there when it comes to a press conference. That's why everyone is locked in down there in SEC media days or the spring meeting when he talks. I wonder what Drinkwitz is going to say. Like Lane Kiffin, right? When Lane Kiffin told, oh, I wonder what Lane Kiffin's going to say. There are certain coaches that have that reputation. They have that reputation because they talk. They're open. What do we want from these guys? We want to hear what they really have to say. We want to hear their true opinions. But then when they give their true opinions, we crush them. So that's why savvy veteran coaches are like, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to be guarded. I'm going to give them coach speak, and I'm going to get the hell out of there. I'm not letting Ross Dellinger take my quote out of context. So, there you go. Twitter's fun. We'll take a break, back into this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com. Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHV. Man, did I need to see Mike Boddicker in here. Usually, I'm in a good mood and you're pissed off, and now I'm pissed off and you seem to be in a good mood. This day is just... This whole day has been a...
Well, yeah.
Sucked so far.
Drink got himself in trouble.
Well, not even that. I was just...
the rain, the traffic.
One of my daughters woke up in the middle of the night, was sick of her stomach and everything else. I was up and I sat up with her for a while, and then I couldn't go back to sleep, and then the stupid storm.
Oh, I love the storm.
I would have loved the storm, but one of my dogs did not love the storm. And she was not willing to let anyone else who was already up go
back. So you haven't slept at all.
Well, it's whatever. And then the drive-in was, please, people, be careful, because it was a wild drive-in. But anyway, yeah. Oh, man. You know, it's one of those days.
I'll make you laugh today. Don't worry.
We all have those days, don't we?
Yes. A lot more than I used to.
Your quote?
Yes.
Taken out of context?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Didn't you get mad? Who'd you get mad at?
The Twin Towers.
Rosenthal.
Yeah.
And Kirchin.
Kirchin, yeah.
What was that?
They were trying to stir up stuff. We were 0-21
right.
Start the year, and they were trying to stir up stuff. We had games won, and the bullpen would blow it. They were trying to get us to kind of throw the bullpen under the bus, and wouldn't do it. And so they took about a half of a quote and spun it into, it looked like I was blaming Don Ossie, who was our closer, for our woes. And
how did they do it? Like, what did you say?
I don't remember. All I remember is my wife calling from Baltimore, and she goes, I cannot believe you said that about Don Ossie. I said, what are you talking about? We were in Minnesota.
Right.
And Ossie came in. His wife called him. He goes, what the heck? I'm going, I never said that. And soon as the Twin Towers came in, man, I was in their face.
Ken Rosenthal and Tim Kirchin.
I like Timmy Kirchin. We had a long talk about it. Rosenthal, I have no time for.
So was it they just misquote you or take you?
No, they took it out of context. They made it. They spun it. They took part of what I said.
Right.
Kind of like Drinkowitz.
Okay.
Exactly. You know.
Right.
That's why when you were talking about it, I went, oh, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Understand, because the media will do that. I mean, it's they're looking to stir stuff up, to get interest in, you know, you were talking about, you know, there's a lot of people listening don't have Twitter. I don't do Twitter. I don't do FaceTime or Facebook. I don't do any of that stuff.
You have a FaceTime, don't you?
I did. I FaceTime with my wife, yes.
Yeah.
She's in Africa.
Look, no, it's, but and again, when you say you don't do Twitter, I get it, right? And
there's no positive for me to be on Twitter.
Like,
none,
okay,
zero.
Like,
I understand you have to.
Right.
I understand.
Here's
that.
What I get out of it. It's great for show prep. Okay,
yeah.
Because like I follow all the, you know, say the Royals beat writers, the Chiefs beat writers,
athletes,
or whatever else.
Man, they threw stuff out there.
Athletes break news on Twitter. There's certain.
That's like Herm said. You can print, you can type it in, but don't hit send.
It's hard. It would be hard to do a radio show, and not be on Twitter because
I understand. I totally understand what
you can get through. The crap and get to the good information, but there's a lot of crap. You know, there's people on Twitter that are just on there just to troll or just to criticize people or just to say some of the most unbelievably awful things.
But would they walk up and say that to you face to face? They wouldn't have the guts to come up and say it to you.
Well, no, that's why they're anonymous.
They're hiding. They're hiding behind this social media platform, but they won't come up and say it to you face to face. They don't have the guts to do that.
Right.
They really don't.
But it's the Twitter gives those people an outlet.
It empowers them.
Right. To you know, maybe they're unhappy with their lives, so anonymously they can criticize everyone else and try to bring people down to their level. But when you have a reporter, and this is the thing that is challenging, I bet, for a lot of print reporters, a lot of guys that are writers that are battling social media and battling the way that sports fans consume the coverage of teams. Because now a lot of the coverage is done in-house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And access is given in-house before it's given anyone else. You are told to create content that's going to get clicks, that's mm-hmm. going to get interactions.
Yep.
And so
followers.
He got what he wanted yesterday.
Exactly. That's exactly what he wanted.
And he can stand back. And 2 hours later, oh, now here's the old quote.
He's going to pay the price for it because nobody's going to believe what this fool says anymore.
Just what I told him, next time he comes up with a quote from somebody, you're going to say, well, this is probably taken out of context.
Exactly.
I'm going to wait to see the whole thing. So he took some hits here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he got some clicks.
It was fun for that little time, but he's going to pay the price.
So...
Eddie Murray still won't talk to any media. He got the same scenario where they took half of what he said out of context, and he just won't talk to him.
Just think about, I mean, you know, the immediacy now. Like back then, they'd do that to you, and it wouldn't be until the
next day or the day after.
The newspaper in the morning.
No, it's instant.
Sunday's paper.
It is
that,
instant.
Right? All this thing happened. He did it, and everyone jumped on him. And then 2 hours later, he's, well, here's the full quote. And
well,
then
Drake says some stuff every once in a while.
He
gets himself in trouble.
He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
That was not one of them.
Drake was retweets like, a little late now, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm about to start off with a full quote. But that wasn't going to get any engagement.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, yesterday, you guys were with me. We have Jamie Bluma in studio now, Mike Boddicker and Jamie Bluma, kind enough to come and spend time with me. Well, I'll be honest with you. This is part my fault, but I won't take all the blame because I like to throw people under the bus. I have no idea where Nate is. I have no idea.
I think my wife saw him in Africa, but I'm not sure.
That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know.
In the mouth of a hippo.
I literally don't know what days he's going to be here and what days he's not going to be here. I have no idea. It's like a roll of the dice. So I walk in here. One constant that I do know that I can count on, that smiling young boy will be here. And there's something to be said for that.
And I cut into his sleep the other day.
And
I really feel bad.
Wake up call ever.
I feel very confident. Like, this is what I know. I know Marco.
I'll be here whenever you want.
I don't know because I got today. I thought Nate was on the show, and I was like, I don't know. So I don't know where he is. All right.
Yeah.
And so you know, I appreciate you guys being here.
Anything for you, Steven. You know that.
I appreciate
Absolutely.
You guys.
If you call,
much.
I'll be there.
I drank some of that whiskey, some bourbon, the MR 340.
Yes.
Over the weekend, delicious. That was the one you brought me.
That's right. The guy that won your bourbon. He picked up the bottle. He went over. We were at Coach's over off of college.
Sure.
Where we pass out the bourbon.
I like that spot.
And he went over with some buddies. You know, he was so tickled to win it. And, oh, I love you guys. I love Steven. Steven's my favorite. And
He's
they went
my
over
favorite.
And they went over and ate and had some cocktails early, which I like. And so he all of a sudden he comes walking back. He goes, you know, I did some research on this. Everything is made in Missouri. Everything. And I said, yeah, I know that. I mean, you told me that.
Sure.
And he goes, Steven's a huge Missouri guy. He says, I want him to have this bottle. I want him to have this bottle. So I took his name.
I had that bottle.
And empty. And I took it and I gave it to Steven. And...
How about I bring you a full bottle unopened?
All right.
So this wasn't.
Oh, no, well, he, so, no, it
this
was.
This was. This
he gave it to me. Unopened,
I even had the tag. I even had the tag
open
with
now.
My autograph right. on it. Yeah,
because we went and stayed at the president for a couple of days, just a little getaway,
sure.
Because we had the Jarrett Sutton wedding.
Yes, and then, I heard you had tacos and everything. Taco bar.
You have a taco bar at a wedding, then your wedding wins.
Yeah. We had a taco bar at the tailgate we had there.
Taco bars are great.
You can't beat a good taco
bar. I just don't understand
bar.
Why more
Except
people don't do it.
Except for jailhouse nachos. If your dad
Very
makes
good.
Jailhouse nachos.
Very good. But then we had, you know, Richie played a purple jam at Knuckleheads, and so I wanted to bring something down there for the hotel room, so I took the MR 340.
Nice.
And enjoyed that. And that
Still 6:30 out of St. Louis.
Good.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Delicious.
That's what I'll say. So I saw that shirt.
That's where that bottle ended up. The guy won it and ended up, he loves Steven. He knows everything was made in Missouri. Everything, he says. And Missouri is Stephen's place, and I'm going
to... So to give those guys a little love, so that bottle you can only get at the finish line of the MR340, the kayak race Emily does from here to St. Louis. So Weglars, that is the owner of Still 630. He does a special batch, one barrel only, and you can buy it at the finish line. So yesterday, speaking of, I had a meeting with West Bottoms Whiskey here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. With some people, and I was talking, and then
were
they
you,
know.
Were you?
No, I couldn't.
Tasting?
I did not.
Oh, because okay.
I had lessons yesterday.
Oh,
so
that doesn't stop.
Well,
you screw up enough kids.
No. We'll do that after.
All right.
Anyway, they want to do a bottle or a run for the start of the MR340.
So they got talking about start and a finish.
So, yeah. So they want to kind of get on that yesterday. So give West Bottoms Whiskey a little plug.
Nice,
Alex Lindsay.
Good.
So we got to talk about that yesterday because they know Weglar's from Still 630. So.
There
we'll see if we can get that figured out.
So
you can tweet it out, and then
we will. I'll
tweet it out, and then
love this
drink a Witzel, run with it.
Yesterday,
drink a lot.
We were have a drink with me. Yesterday we were talking about Ricky Henderson.
Yes,
and so Marco sent me. He found a video. I think we've looked at this before.
Did he take me deep?
Boston? You and just a random at bat with Ricky Henderson as we have here on my iPad. Take us through this, Mike. You're with Boston. There, first strike. Here you go.
A shocker. First pitch strike.
Well, that's because he saw nothing but curveballs his whole career off me, first pitch, because he took me deep way too many times. Well,
tell us what happens here. What was that? I didn't see. What was that?
Just curveball. A curveball.
Curveball.
Okay. Just a curveball. Popped out. Slow one.
Didn't know Ricky was a Yankee.
Oh, yeah.
At one point.
Ricky was with everyone at some point.
What year would this have been?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, but I know that Winfield. Oh, sidearm. See that?
Can you
go a little bit
to the.
David Cone, little Mike.
Coney probably
got that from you.
Probably. Can we play this on the air?
Yeah.
Marco, we'll take a break. I want to hear how this sounded. Also.
Did he take me deep? He took me deep.
We'll
a lot.
Find out.
Okay.
Also,
I gave up a lot of home runs. I gave up.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. Me and Lyles had nothing on me.
Something we talked about yesterday. I was asking you guys about Mizzou firing their baseball coach. Boy, in Wichita State
cleaned house. Yeah.
I knew there was a meeting going to happen yesterday.
I got no response, too. I thought, oh, man, that's a cute little quote.
Well, the phone was having a meltdown yesterday when it happened, so I did not get back to Mike.
So I put, in quotes, it's a shocker.
Oh, boy.
And I got nothing. I got nothing in return.
Bad.
Nothing.
We'll see what you get when we come back from commercial break on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.